For joining with us online, welcome. I'm invite us to stand to our feet. Let's worship and declare God's goodness in our lives today. Let's sing together. See, we are so happy that you are here with us today. Whether you are in the room or you're joining with us online, welcome. We want to know that you're here. In the seat back in front of you, you're going to see a Connect card, and on that card, you can put your name on it and let us know you're here. We'd love to reach out with you. And also on that same card, there's a place to request prayer. And every week, our team, we come together, our elders, our ministry staff, our pastors, we all come together and we pray for the needs of our church, and we love an opportunity to be doing that for you in whatever season you're walking through this week. And on top of that, we also have an opportunity to give today. And hopefully you came prepared to give of an offering today. And I want you to know that your generosity is so encouraging. It's so encouraging to see that lived out through the hands and feet of the people here at RCC and just the impact that it's making. Thank you. Thank you so much for your generosity. There's several ways to do that. As you can see on the screen, if you're joining with us online this morning, you can give online, Or if you're here in the room, we have giving boxes as you make your way out to the atrium. And there's ways to do that as you make your way out. And so thank you for your generosity. On top of that, one last thing. Don't forget we have our Chest of Joash that Pastor Nathan challenged us with last week. And those boxes are in the back. And this is apart from our normal offering. And we're reaching our goal of 200,000. I can say that we have already made it over halfway there. Is that not amazing? Yeah, let's celebrate. So we are trying to raise 200,000 for the Chest of Joash. So please consider and pray about what you can offer to that. It's going to be amazing to see how God works through that. Thank you so much for your generosity. Hey, we're going to turn our attention to a time of communion. And if you didn't receive the emblems, just keep your hand raised and one of the ushers will come and give those to you. And we are going to turn our time into a focus of communion. And I'm going to read a passage for us. It comes out of Ephesians 5. And it says this. It says, "Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." And I think of the wording in this psalm, and it talks about coming together, right? Coming together as the body and singing psalms and hymns and songs of the Spirit. And I think of what that looks like in a musical setting, right? What that means, like when we bring our worship together through song, there's so many different parts in that, right? We bring our voices together, and there's all different kinds of voices, right? High, low, some in tune, some in not, right? We have all different kinds of voices and ranges and stuff like that. And then we have all the band that kind of comes around that if we're going to bring music into it. And there's so many different instrumentations, right? There's stringed instruments, percussive instruments. There's wind instruments. There's brass instruments. There's drums, guitar, bass, keys. We even have a cowbell, right? We plan that out. Right? All these different things form together to bring a song of praise to one God. And we all come together to make one song of praise collectively. And I think of what that looks like in our lives. And I was like, isn't that true in our lives? We come together as the body of Christ. And we all have different gifts, abilities. We all have different seasons we're walking through, different things that we're praying for, different hurts, different struggles. Yet we all come together as the body of Christ, and we all enter into one table to praise one God. And that's really what we do when we take communion. We all together as the body, we come to the table of Christ and we take the bread that he offers, which sustains us in our everyday life. We take the juice or the cup, which reminds us of the blood that washes away our every sin. And it's through our faith in Jesus where he offers redemption, new life through him. We come to the table. And it's just like this passage says. It says, "Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart." And don't miss this. It says, "Always give thanks to the Lord, your God." And so as we come to the table today as the body, what do you need to give thanks to the Lord for? In your season, where are you focused on the struggle when we need to be focused on Christ? Because his word remains constant. He remains faithful through the ups and downs in life. And we can find thanks for him in regard to any season that we're walking through. So that's number one. What do you need to give thanks to God for? And then also, how do we love one another more in reverence for Christ this morning? Consider that thought. I'm going to pray. We're going to take communion as you feel led. I'm going to invite you to join with us again in worship. God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your gift of grace that you offer to us through your Son. God, we thank you for the opportunity that you invite us to the table in this way. God, as we celebrate in remembrance of the good work of your Son, Jesus, God, may we do so with thankful hearts this morning. We love you and we give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray.
You are the same. morning, RCC. You may be seated. It is my honor and privilege to introduce to you Beth Young and Lori Ryan. They are here this morning to share a very exciting new class that will be starting here at RCC in a few weeks. So please give them a warm welcome.
Good morning. So as Pastor Anthony said, we are here to let you know about a new class that is starting at the end of the month. It will be called Core. We believe that there are so many believers in here in our church family that desire to be further discipled and even to disciple others. And so we want to work on beginning a discipleship community by starting this class that will hopefully create a safe space for people to dig deeper into Scripture and walk alongside others. And so we're believing that this class is for the curious and the new believer who want to know those foundational truths of Christianity. But it's also for the believer that is kind of seasoned but needs a refresher or wants to dig deeper into some of those key concepts of our faith. And finally, we think it's also for those that are looking for a starting point for practical tools for discipling others and walking and doing life alongside of others, modeling their faith and sharing that with others. So pass the mic to Lori.
Thank you. Hi. So what exactly is CORE? What to expect on a Sunday morning? Well, first of all, we're going to be using the Bible. The Bible is our curriculum. So we are going to dig into the Scriptures, find out exactly who is God, who is Jesus, who is the Holy Spirit, the resurrection, even getting words like sanctification. And it's so we can dig as deep as you want. We're going to provide tools for you to do work at home. Because basically what we want to do is, in order to be committed disciples of Jesus, we have to create a space where we, an opportunity where we can know God intimately. That is the first important thing. We said last night at the ladies' retreat, refresh, that we could pray, but unless we know about God, our prayers aren't going to be too much because we have to have that intimate relationship with Him. So that's what this is about as we go into a spiritual network of building a discipleship community. Now, we are going to begin this on March 27th is Sunday, and it's going to be during the first service, and we're going to meet over at the Portable 2. And if you have any questions about anything, we have a table set up, and if you're one of those folks that you're nervous about or anxious about talking with people, we have handouts. Take them home, reach us, okay, because we believe that this is important. We want to be intentional about making disciples for Jesus. So we look forward to hearing from you. Talk to us outside. We have another team out there, too, but we look forward to meeting with you and doing life together. Thank you.
Yes, let's give it up for Beth and Lori again. We just want to say thank you so much to them. But I also want you to know there are so many things that take place on this campus, not only on a weekly basis, but also on a daily basis. And the heart of this leadership is for you. We love presenting opportunities like this, not only to the people in here, but also to our surrounding community, so that we can grow and mature in Christ. If you are wondering where Pastor Nathan is, he is in Israel. And so he'll be in Israel for the next couple weeks. We definitely want to keep him in our prayers just for an amazing time there. But also we want him to return safely back to us. So please remember to pray for him. We're thrilled that you made the decision to be with us. And if you're online with us this morning, we love that you're joining us as well. And today we're starting a new series. It's a relationship series called Relationships 101. Now, let me just tell you that God has an interesting sense of humor. I, at times, call it a twisted sense of humor because I'm the last person who should be standing up here kicking off a series on relationships. And yes, I'm going to explain why by sharing two areas of my life that I love. I love coffee and I love people, but both of these pictures perfectly illustrate a lot of difficulty in my relationships with people. Well, I love people much more than coffee. People are just flat out hard for me at times. They can be messy, they can be ridiculous, they can be draining, they can be high maintenance, they can be sensitive, they can be demanding, they can be dramatic, they can be emotional, and yes, they can even be rude. Now, If you're thinking that I'm talking to you or about you, I would say this to you. You're wrong. All those things that I just said describe me a lot of days. And I frequently get on my own nerves most days. So, well, I'm grateful to be one of your pastors here at RCC. I know that I am so inadequate on my own to kick off this series on relationships. But I also know that there are no inadequacies with the Lord, and He will fill in every single gap where I'm lacking. So let's pray together before we dive into the adventure that God has for us this morning. Father, we come to you with open arms, open hearts, open minds, and open souls. We pray that in these next moments, you would pour into us. Pour into us your love, your grace, your mercy, and your word. And Father, we know your Spirit's going to provide conviction. Sometimes that's uncomfortable, but help us to realize that your heart is for us. Lord, I ask that you would shove me aside so that your word can be communicated accurately, effectively, and powerfully, and that you would receive all the honor and glory for everything that is said and done. We ask all these things through the power of Jesus' name. Amen. October 2nd, 1936, and October 13th, 1958 are two dates that may not be significant to you. But those dates and what happened on those dates changed my world forever. And for those of you that think I was alive at either one of those times, shame on you. And we can talk about that later. My dad was born on October 2nd, 1936, and my mom was born on October 13th, 1958. Little did they know that their worlds would collide many years later. And none of us had any idea that I would be standing here on this stage at River Christian Church at age 44 on March 6th, 2022. But God knew about each one of these details. And I stand here today, deeply shaped, profoundly impacted, and thoroughly influenced by all that my parents brought to the table, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And yes, I said the bad and the ugly in addition to the good, because I'll share a secret: no parent is perfect, regardless of how great they are. On March 4th, 1978, when I entered this world, I believe that my parents knew that their influence and impact would matter significantly in my life. I believe they recognized countless times in my life that their teaching and modeling as my parents had the ability to change and transform me. But for every time they recognized these realities, I also believe that there were many other times when they simply had no clue about the ripple effects their influence would leave upon my heart and soul, and upon the hearts and souls of others around me. And hear me when I say, I don't say that to bash my parents. I say that because I think every single one of us in this room are in the same boat as my parents. We don't know, nor can we see the future. We live very busy lives. We are easily distracted. We are human beings with limited perspectives. And it's so easy to fall into the trap that our little lives don't have a ton of relevance. But God has enabled our lives to be lives that create these tremendous ripple effects throughout the course of the here and now, but also throughout the course of eternity. And this morning, we are going to consider and talk about this concept of our lives creating these ripple effects through the lens of the parent-child relationship. Now, before you say or think, well, Anthony, I can go to sleep now because I'm not a parent and I don't have a desire to be a parent, I ask that all of us consider the following statement. While all of us are not parents, every human being is an influencer. You may be a parent, you may not be a parent. You may one day become a parent, or you may never become a parent. But because you are a human being who has been created in the image of God, you indeed are an influencer. And you are living a life that God can use to create these ripple effects. Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines a ripple effect as a spreading, pervasive, and usually unintentional effect or influence. I like this definition, except the unintentional part, because I believe that we are going to see this morning that God deeply desires that we are daily and moment by moment realizing and remembering that our lives are intended to cause these phenomenal ripple effects by and through His power and the Holy Spirit's power. Our main text for this morning is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. You can follow along with me on the screens as I read it. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. If my wife, Sunshine, were standing up here, she would tell you that I tend to not be a very good rule follower. Well, I don't have the mentality that rules are made to be broken. I do generally find rules somewhat restrictive and restraining, and I hate feeling restricted or restrained. So when I initially read this passage without an understanding of the broader context and without an understanding of the heart of God, it can be a major downer. Lots of rules. In other words, what do I have to do? We live in a world and society that promote success, achievement, performance, and doing. Achieving more, succeeding more, performing more, doing more. And while I would love to say that this mentality isn't present in the church, I do believe that this attitude and mentality insidiously rear their ugly heads, even in the church, especially as it pertains to raising our young people. AP, IB, and ACE don't refer to new technology or social trends. Rather, they refer to programs that enable students to study college-level material before they graduate high school. Getting the right grades to get into the right schools to be accepted into the right programs matters today more than it has ever mattered before. Young people going from one extracurricular activity to the next with very little downtime, not being well acquainted with what it means and looks like to be still, to be silent, and to rest, while their parents are applauding and praising their efforts, even as the young people move dangerously close to sheer exhaustion, following in the steps of their exhausted and frazzled parents, well, that has become the norm rather than the exception. And hear me when I say there's nothing wrong with pursuing excellence. There's nothing wrong with getting good grades, being involved in extracurricular activities. But even we as disciples of Jesus have become very well acquainted with doing first rather than being. Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9 is not a laundry list of rules from a detached, brutal, or unyielding father. Rather, Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 9 is about the creator of the universe, God, saying to his people, to us, you are valuable beyond your wildest dreams. Not because of your doing, but because of who I am and who I've created you to be. God is inviting his people, inviting us to lives of being attached to him, being cherished by him, being loved by him, being taken care of by him. Listen to the latter part of verse 3 again. that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. God's heart is for his people. His heart is for you. His heart is for me. The doing on our parts, being faithful to God, choosing him, devoted to him, saying yes to him, has always been designed to flow from being with him first. The doing on our parts was never intended to be performance-based, legalistic, or ritualistic. I'm not loved by God because I do. I'm not loved by God because I don't do. I am loved by God because of his goodness and his graciousness. And the call from God is to rest in that goodness and graciousness, thereby empowering me to live as he has designed me to live. Being parents and influencers live this. Parents and influencers model being first and doing second. And I will confess that I love to do. I love to accomplish tasks. I love to be doing big things that God has called me to do with the time that he has given me. I love to succeed. Who doesn't like to be successful? And while there's nothing inherently wrong with being successful sometimes, and yes, even for the man or woman of God, success can be this intoxicating, adrenaline-producing drug that leads us to dark places that God has never intended us to go. And while I cannot speak for you, I know that for me, my definitions of success do not always match God's definition of success. And this is true of a story that we find in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 6 through 13. When David is anointed as the new king of Israel. Please follow along with me on the screens, but I also want us to notice how different God's view is about who is going to be king than the people that also have a view about who's going to be king. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but I look at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord hasn't chosen these." Then Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all of your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but behold, he's keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Parents and influencers seek to align themselves with God's definition of success. Success for the disciple of Jesus is not primarily about being in the right job, making the most money, having your dream house, and being as comfortable as possible. Rather, success for the disciple of Jesus is primarily about walking faithfully before God. My dad celebrated his 85th birthday late last year, and in the 44 years that he has been my dad, I've heard him say many things. But one of his favorite sayings has been, "Anthony, regardless of how good you are at something, there will always be someone better than you at that something." Now, you may be saying or thinking, "Well, that's not encouraging at all." And I thought that for many years. And I haven't always understood why my dad said this. But that saying has become a blessing to me, because I now understand what my dad is saying when he says that. He's not encouraging me to throw in the towel. He's not encouraging me to not do my best. In fact, it's quite the opposite. He's reminding me that my performance, good or bad, is not why he is my earthly father chooses to love me. And more importantly, he's reminding me that my performance, good or bad, is not why my heavenly father chooses to love me. In that one simple statement, he is reminding me to be with God first and do for God second. One of my favorite authors is Bob Goff, who wrote the book, Everybody Always. The premise of that book is loving people like Jesus with no strings attached. And you talk about what a difficult task that is. He says the following, but extravagant love often means coloring outside the lines and going beyond the norms. Coloring outside the lines and going beyond the norms. Consider that the co-creator of the universe, Jesus Christ, willingly chose to inhabit a human body with human frailties, coloring outside the lines of what many expected and even believed. Consider that the co-creator of the universe willingly chose to go to the cross to endure a humiliating, barbaric, and savage death on our behalf, going beyond the norms. In verse 5 of Deuteronomy 6, we hear more about the doing that should come from the being. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. So many times, especially in Christian circles and churches, we talk about us loving God with our everything, and rightly so. But I wonder if we talk nearly enough about how we are actively embracing the love that God has for us. Because how are we supposed to love God with our everything and love others with all that is within us when we are not actively embracing the love that God has for us? I believe there are a variety of ways I can practice embracing God's love for me, but I want to point you to a woman who I believe is living this very well. Sherry Nemo is a sister in Christ here at RCC who was just baptized last Sunday. I've gotten to know her and her incredibly beautiful and painful story these last several months, and I did ask her permission to share only a small part of her story. In these last several years, Sherry has had her husband pass away. She's been in the hospital for well over a year with various and serious health issues, almost dying of those issues. She's currently on dialysis, in need of a kidney transplant. She texted me this morning because a board of doctors met on Friday and denied her for that transplant. And so she continues to wait. Sherry has taught and is teaching me what it means and looks like to embrace God's love for her. She is raw, vulnerable, and transparent with God and doesn't pull any punches with him. She resists the very real temptation to give up and allows God to meet her where she is rather than beating herself up for where she's not or where she thinks she should be. She listens to God speak meaning and life into her circumstances rather than allowing her circumstances to keep her down. She celebrates God's love for her by and through living in gratitude and living with joy. Because Sherry is embracing the big love that God has for her, she is able to do what God commands in Deuteronomy 6:5, loving him with all her heart, soul, and might. Parents and influencers model and teach embracing God's big love, while also loving big with no strings attached. I love the way the message puts Deuteronomy 6:5. Love God, your God, with your whole heart. Love him with all that's in you. Love him with all you've got. The Jews in that time understood and believed that the heart was the seat of all human emotions. So when they heard this charge from God to love with all their hearts, they would have understood that this was also a call to make God their everything, with absolutely no rivals to him whatsoever. Now, let me be the first to say that loving God and loving those around us with no strings attached, that's a tall order. And that's extremely difficult. It requires a constant and consistent shelving of our egos, our pride, and what we think is best. My parents divorced when I was 3 years old, and my dad received full custody of me in 1981, which at that time was almost unheard of. My mom was very heavily involved in drugs. I didn't have a close relationship with her until I was in middle school. But my parents have always been close friends, even with my mom being remarried for a little over 30 years. My dad is friends with my stepdad also. The three of them have spent many Thanksgivings and Christmases together. Inevitably, people ask me if that's weird that my divorced parents were good friends. My response is basically all the same, always the same. That's all I've ever known. For the greater part of my life, I watched my dad, a Christian man, shelve his ego, his pride, and what he thought was best to love my mom, who wasn't a Christian, with no strings attached. My dad frequently got on my nerves because he would say things like this when my mom and I weren't on good terms. Son, you only have one mom. Anthony, you are a man of God. She doesn't know God. I've never heard my dad say one single disparaging thing about my mom, and I have never heard my mom say one single disparaging thing about my dad, but I believe that he set the tone for that relationship. My mom would call my dad for his advice when she and I were not on good terms, and even now I think, how crazy is that? But then I remember that my dad was empowered and liberated to love my mom, a woman who had betrayed and wounded him so deeply, and to love her big and with no strings attached. It was because he was and is a man who has been and is in the process of practicing embracing the big love that God has for him. Well, my dad was far from perfect. I was raised in a home where church, living as a man of God, and discussions about God, they weren't just things that my dad and I did. Through my dad's example, I deeply understood that being a Christian was not just another weekly activity among many other weekly activities. It wasn't just a label that I put on and took off whenever it was convenient for me. Did I always live this out perfectly? Heck no. But my dad's example taught me that being a Christian, being a man of God, being a disciple of Jesus Christ wasn't some routine weekly activity that we participated in. No, his example taught me that it was and is a way of life. But these things did not magically happen because we went to church or even because at times he made me go to church. And no, I didn't use the wrong words. Well, it may be a foreign concept today, my dad did make me go to church at times. And although there were times I couldn't stand it then, I am so appreciative of that now. I understood that walking with Jesus is a way of life because my dad was intentional and purposeful with his words, his actions, his modeling, his authenticity, his vulnerability, his forgiveness, his apologizing when he was wrong, and his valuing and cherishing me, regardless of what I brought to the table. My dad was not content with me just being exposed to God. He was intentional in shepherding me to embrace God. He understood that while he couldn't make the decision for me to embrace God, he could be purposeful and intentional in shepherding me to make that decision. Parents and influencers shepherd to help others embrace God, rather than being content with exposure to God. There are big differences between these two realities, and this purpose and intentionality is what Deuteronomy 6, 7 through 9 is talking about. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Consider some of the following questions that might engage your kids or someone that you're shepherding on deeper levels that go beneath the surface. What is God speaking over you and into you right now? Do you feel seen and heard by God, by others? Do you believe that God is real and cares about you? What do you appreciate about God? What drives you crazy about God? What do you believe about yourself? What do you believe about how you see yourself? How can I love you more fully and effectively? How can I be here for you? What is God currently teaching you or showing you? How can I pray for you? Is there anything that you're upset with God about? What is it that you want in your life? Do you want a relationship with God? Why or why not? What is it that you want in a relationship with God? Don't just wait on opportunities to arise as an influencer. Seek to make those opportunities and move out of the way and let the Holy Spirit have his way. When my dad didn't live with me and my wife, he would call me every Sunday, and I knew what question was coming because it was the same question every Sunday. And if I didn't answer the phone, he would leave me a voicemail. And the question was, son, I just wanted to check in and see how your relationship with God is going. Every Sunday, without fail, for years. My mom passed away 1 month ago today. For over 30 years, I prayed and I asked others to pray for my mom to become a Christian. Now, I wish I could say that they were some really wonderful and beautiful prayers that sounded awesome. But here's the reality. In that 30-plus years, I became frustrated at times in those prayers. At times, I stopped praying. At times, I gave up hope. At times, I was upset with God in those prayers. At times, I was upset with my mom in those prayers. At other times, I wished for a different mom in those prayers. And still at other times, I cried out in desperation, wondering if, when, how. We see in Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 4, this principle of a now and not yet type of living. God was preparing the nation of Israel in the now for what they were going to do, what they were going to inherit, the not yet. And God calls us as his disciples to live in this tension of the now and not yet, in a world where we have accessibility to many things that we want when we want them. This now and not yet type of living is extremely difficult, and I believe it is a spiritual discipline. Parents and influencers model and teach a now and not yet type of living. Make no mistake about it, God is with us every step of the way and now and not yet living, but it may not always feel like it. God and his presence didn't always feel near to me when I was praying for my mom. And God and his presence don't always feel near to me when I wake up every morning. But regardless, do I trust and believe and know that God's heart is for me? The last two pictures I took of my mom before she died are pictures that I will cherish forever. The picture on the right is both beautiful and hilarious to me. You see, my mom did end up surrendering her life to Jesus while she was in the hospital and before she went to in-home hospice through the influence of a chaplain and one of her nurses. God gave both me and my mom a precious gift of being able to spend some time together before she passed away. And I had just gotten her some food and was in the kitchen getting her a drink. And I said, Mom, what would you like to drink? She didn't respond. So I turned around. Mom, did you hear me? She opened her eyes and started laughing and said, Anthony Jean, that's my middle name, you're interrupting my prayer. She closed her eyes and went right back to praying. I took the picture on the left on January 19th, the same day I was able to read a letter to her, and I'm going to share a part of that letter regarding her journey with Jesus. For most of my life, I prayed for you to come to know Jesus Christ, his salvation, his redemption, his deliverance. I've wondered at times if this would ever happen. I've wondered many times if my imperfections were a barrier and hindrance to this happening. I frequently wondered if and when I was even going to see this day. I've dreamt about how this day and time would unfold, and in typical God fashion, with only a sense of humor that he has, the day and time did not unfold in any ways that I expected or envisioned. But here's the thing. Who cares because it happened? You have come to know Jesus Christ, his redemption, his deliverance, his power, his love, his grace, and his mercy. As a son so often does, even when a mom is completely unaware. I have watched you these last few days. Watching your childlike faith, which Jesus speaks a lot about, by the way. Seek after the face of God in prayer. Watch you hunger and thirst for God in opening and reading the Bible. Watching how you've handled bouts of adversity in much different ways than I've seen you handle adversity before. Watching you hold my hand and comfort me as I couldn't keep myself composed. Watching you look forward to a future with your Heavenly Father, a future that will bring you a new body that doesn't struggle mightily to breathe. A future in which you get to continuously celebrate hand in hand with Jesus Christ. A future in which you will be with me in better and more complete ways than ever before. A future in which I'm quite sure you will be pulling some pranks with the assistance of God and his angels. The middle picture on the screen is of a tattoo that I got while I was in Phoenix to honor my mom. By the way, she was both surprised and shocked by the tattoo and told me that I needed to make sure that my dad was sitting down when I showed it to him. In Greek, it says, I have a voice with my mom's initials. You see, even when my mom wasn't a Christian, she was highly influential in teaching me how to use my voice to battle, to speak up for others, to speak up for myself. Now, the Lord oftentimes has to rein my voice in, but I will always cherish that amazing gift that she has given me. I would not be standing up here this morning without that gift. And one of the magnificent things that God is that if we are willing to surrender our lives to him, he empowers our lives to create these ripple effects throughout all of eternity for people that we will never know and never meet. The final picture you see on the screens is of a volleyball team that I currently get to help coach. The ladies and the other coaches have never met my mom, and in a recent tournament, we were struggling mightily, down 12-3 in a championship match. I was struggling to communicate well, struggling to stay positive, struggling to come up with the right things to say that were going to position us for success, struggling to motivate and inspire, struggling to stay engaged. And then I looked down at the tattoo and I thought of my mom and also thought, don't you dare disengage from the moments in time that God has given to you. We ended up winning the match, but this picture doesn't remind me of winning. Rather, this picture reminds me of the fact that others, namely the players and coaches, are experiencing the ripple effects that the life of my mom, someone that they will never meet, created. And God has created each one of us in his image to influence and impact lives for his kingdom and his glory. Our lives, through the power and ability of God, can create these magnificent ripple effects through which others come to know God. Will you please stand with me this morning? As you leave today, you will be handed an envelope with a gift. And don't worry, it's not cash or a check from RCC, although we do love you. But it is something that I'm challenging you to take action on over the next week. On the screen, you will see some suggestions of what you can do with it, what's in the envelope. Perhaps you need to share it with someone else. Perhaps you need to discuss it with your spouse. Perhaps you need to discuss it with your kids. Pray with someone else about it. Talk with a spiritual mentor about it. Celebrate it with yourself, with God, with someone else. But it's my prayer that you will take some action step with what you leave with today. This morning, if you would like the prayers of this church body, we are a praying church. We will have a member of our prayer team up front to pray with you. You can also bring any prayer requests that you may have to the crosses on my right or left. But wherever you are today, may you remember and know that God wants to use your life, our lives, to create incredible ripple effects throughout eternity. Please pray with me. Father, thank you so much for your deep, profound, and abiding love for us. Father, you love us like nothing else and no one else can. Help us to celebrate that. Help us to be motivated by that. Help us to be inspired by that. Father, I pray for every single person in this room, because the reality of the situation is we are all souls. That is our highest calling. Remind us of that moment by moment and day by day. But Father, as souls, we touch hundreds and thousands of other souls in the here and now and throughout the course of eternity. So help us to remember that the stakes are high. Help us not to beat ourselves up. Help us to live with your love leading, with passion and urgency and expectation. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Too high.
just a few closing announcements. We want you to visit the core principal table with Lori Ryan and Beth Young if you are interested. Also in the atrium, men's ministry is going to be out there. There is a father-child camping trip that's actually here on this campus on March 18th, and so we would love to have you attend. You can find out more information about that. Next Sunday is Welcome to RCC during second service, 10:30, room 204. If you do not know what Welcome to RCC is, that means you need to be in room 204 next Sunday. We would love to have you. It's a place where you can find out more about our missions and values, who we are, why we would love to have you jump on board with us as well. Finally, I just want to share some exciting news. We talked about Chest of Joash last week, and our goal was to raise $200,000 for building improvements that are really going to position us to help people know Jesus more in more intimate ways. And listen, first of all, I want to say you all showed up in amazing ways, but most importantly, the Lord has shown up and continues to show out in glorious ways because up to this point, in 1 week, we have raised $112,000. So we certainly want to say thank you so very much. We want to continue to encourage you. There are two chests out there that you can give through the end of 2022. You can also give to Chest of Joash over and above your tithes and offerings online, but thank you in advance for all that you guys are doing. We love you so very much, RCC. Have an excellent day.